In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you will have guessed already that today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. The shepherd needs to keep his flock safe. And in our day, an important question for the Lord's flock, that is the church, is how can it grow so that it can maintain itself at a viable level? You will know from what Bishop Robert has been saying that the church needs to face up to this issue now. And in fact, at the bishop staff meeting next week, it will feature quite high up on our agenda. A lot of research has been done recently, and I suspect, though, some of you will not want to hear the conclusions. The first thing to say is that there is no simple magic formula. If there were, we would all be doing it and every church would be growing. The first ingredient has to be prayer. Are you praying for your church to grow? And do we mean growth in numbers? Growth in certain categories, which usually means young people or families. And I wonder how that makes older or single people feel. Or do we mean growth in fellowship, discipleship, prayerfulness, giving, quality of worship, or something else? Mention of worship reminds me that in the Church of England today, the greatest growth is taking place in the cathedrals. Not just on Sundays either. Go to choral evensong during the week, and you will see a good-sized congregation, even a queue to get in some places. You can't get more traditional than choral evensong, and it is almost always according to the Book of Common Prayer of 1662. This is not what people expect to hear when the subject of growth is mentioned. These services look like fossilized relics, with no relevance to modern life. But perhaps that is precisely their attraction. Architecture, music, language, all combine to create something otherworldly, transcendent, allowing worshippers to feel that they are in the presence of holiness. Now, obviously, at St. Ursula's, we can't hope to rival the beauty of a medieval cathedral. But worship of a high standard that is done with dignity and reverence will always appeal to people and help them find a deeper faith in God and a sense of his presence. A recent survey in Switzerland found that the image of the various churches has a great influence on their mission. People prefer churches to be tolerant, to take their doubts and questions seriously. In America and Australia, so we read, the churches that are declining fast are the ones labelled conservative evangelical. Admittedly, they are starting from a very high base, so many of them still look big and flourishing at the moment. But the younger generation, though, seems to be turning away from them in droves. In a poll of students at a university in California recently, most of them gave answers like, "I like Jesus, but I don't like Christians." Or another one, "Christians are dogmatic and closed-minded. They say that churches are negative. Their literalistic interpretation of the Bible on subjects like evolution and hell are seen as simply not credible." What people are looking for is a church that is concerned with the same everyday issues that bother them, and a church that can negotiate a path between hardline morality and anything goes. From what I hear at the big successful churches that are always held up as examples, their worship is very professionally done and has a lot in common with pop concerts and the like. And I've no doubt that appeals to people of a certain age. The thing is, once you've gone through that stage, then what? A wise cleric once said, "The church that is married to the spirit of the age will find itself a widow in the next." We Anglicans are here for the long haul, not short-lived attractions. And yes, this probably does make us look old-fashioned and boring at times. But we have been around for a long time. Over 100 years in this building alone. And I wonder what today's successful churches will look like in 2115. One of the other things that is sometimes levelled against Anglican churches is that we are a pastoral church and not a missional one. And yes, it's largely true. And it is both a weakness and a strength. We stress the importance of belonging, being part of a larger family. And we're not all that keen on standing on street corners and persuading people to give their lives to Jesus. The thing is, if you teach that what really matters is a close personal relationship with God, accepting Jesus as your own personal saviour and so on, well, yes, this might stay with someone. But if there is no understanding of what it means to be church, the body of Christ, then it will not help the church grow to sustain new members, because you then simply end up with believers who are not belongers. I often get emails with funny or witty sayings about religion. One of these read, "Church ministers are not fishers of men, but aquarium keepers." And they keep swiping fish from other people's aquariums. Or in terms of today's reading, "You can always make your flock grow by stealing other people's sheep." And nowadays, people do go church shopping. It's part of our sort of consumer culture. If one doesn't suit you, you go somewhere else. Well, if you find one that helps you in your walk with God, then good luck to you. But don't expect it to be perfect. Don't do it down. Don't ask it to do something it can't. Recognize and encourage what it is doing well. We all know what Jesus said about a house divided against itself, and a discontented group does enormous damage to a congregation, and that church then gets a certain reputation that will take years to undo. Believe me, quite a bit of my job as archdeacon is going into churches like that. A growing church, it seems to me, is one that is true to Christ and true to itself. What I mean by this is that it is united, where everyone contributes gifts for the whole church, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a church that knows where it's coming from and values the treasures it has inherited from the past. This does not mean that we are stuck in the past. It means our traditions give us a firm foundation on which to build. Tradition can be a powerful way to resource God's mission. A growing church is one that is confident about what it is doing and where it is going. At ease with itself, it is confident enough to invite others to come and see, to share our treasures with them, to welcome those who come, and to offer to walk with them on their pilgrimage of faith. A growing church is one whose members value it enough to commit to regular attendance and to give their time, talents, and money to support the church. Being true to the incarnation, it is a church that is in the world as Jesus was in the world. If a church community has confidence in itself, it can turn away from endless and energy-sapping discussions of internal matters and will engage with the church, with the world outside. Church growth literature has many stories to tell of declining parishes which turned themselves around when they adopted a parish in a poor district or opened a drop-in centre for their lonely neighbours. Our daughter-in-law in Canada was recently a team of ladies at their church who made 500 sandwiches to give to down and outs in the city. Now, things do work differently in North America, and I also know that we're not a neighbourhood church, so we would have to think it through carefully before starting anything like this. But this year's Lent course has got people thinking, and I am really excited about the opportunities it has opened up for us. So to sum up, what makes a church grow? One, worship. Well done. With a reverence that helps people glimpse the wonder and majesty of God. Worship of the living God. That is what we are here for, first and foremost. Two, preaching and teaching a Christian faith that is credible, reasonable, and willing to listen to other people's doubts and difficulties. Three, lifestyle, showing welcome, respect, and compassion, making the church an attractive place, showing our love of God, and being channels of his love. Four, confidence in what we are doing and commitment to doing it as best we can. But I've left out one important item, and all these others will have no effect without it, and that item is prayer. It is all very well having strategies, targets, and so on, but be careful. Do we think it's all down to us? Does all that planning and busyness betray a lack of trust in God? No, growth comes from God, with God, and in his way. A growing church is also a praying church. And our prayer has to be two-way, asking and listening. So let's finish with a prayer. O God, make the door of your church wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship and a heavenly Father's care. Make it narrow enough to shut out all envy, pride, and lack of love. Make its threshold smooth enough to be no stumbling block to children, nor to straying feet. but rugged enough to turn back the tempter's power. Make it a gateway to your eternal kingdom. Amen.